Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
You put that uniform on, that Titan uniform, you better come to work. We will be perfect in every aspect of the game. You drop a pass, you run a mile. You miss a blocking assignment, you run a mile. You fumble the football, and I will break my foot off in your John Brown hind parts. And then you will run a mile. Perfection.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the Master Plan. I am your host, Jerry, a.k.a. The Master, and we'll be talking like fantasy football, as we always do, from week to week until the end of the fantasy football season. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll run that back to you again. It's 347-637-3220. The chat room is also open for your convenience. If you like to give out your question or statement or whatever in the chat room, it's open for your convenience. Any way we get to communicate my picks and my advice on the fantasy front, that's what I'll do for you. We're trying to improve and make sure you do get the breaks. What you're hearing in the background, it's old school time today, like it always is with me. This is an old school rapper for these young bucks, these young people who are listening to this show. This guy's called Curtis Blow, one of the original rappers or hip hop, whatever you want to call him. This is called The Breaks. I'll be right back.
Well, these are The Breaks. Break it up, break it up, break it up.
Enough of that. That's enough of that. I get carried away. I can listen to that whole thing. It's about 8 minutes long. If you don't know a Curtis Blow, go on YouTube. Type up Curtis Blow with a K, and you'll see who he is. You'll see that song. You'll see some other ones that he made. If you like that old school rap, that song and other songs are for you. Anyway, like I said, I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. I'm called by many other names, but don't call me late for dinner, lunch, or breakfast. And like I said, the number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. Enough of the procrastination. Enough of what we should be talking about. It's what fantasy football, what you really want to hear, what I have to say is fantasy football. NFL bye weeks, Miami, Denver, San Diego, Kansas City, Philly, Atlanta. There's a lot of talent that are on bye this week. A lot of people are scrambling to get players to fill the players that aren't playing this week. Maybe I can help you. At the end of the show, I'm going to give you one, two, three, four picks, four players, and a defense that you may want to pick up and for a bye week replacement. Some of these guys are starting to emerge and may become more of a bye week replacement. So just keep that in mind when I'm telling you this. And I'm going to give you some other pointers besides that as we go into the show. So let's start off with the first game. Quite naturally, the first game of the week was Seahawks and the 49ers. A lot of people were hesitant about starting. There's running backs who were in that game talking about Frank Gore and Marshawn Lynch. Well, if you were, you were foolish because both of them topped over 100 yards. Frank Gore did a little bit better than Marshawn Lynch. That just goes to show you, if you have a stud, do not overthink it. Do not overthink it. He goes up against a rough defense. You got to play that stud. That stud more than likely was drafted high when you drafted your teams. So you have to play that stud. And it proved out on Thursday. Maybe Vernon Davis, which wasn't drafted first or second or third round, but he was drafted pretty high for a tight end because he's one of the better tight ends, didn't do anything. I mean, he didn't do anything. He got 0 points. But if you had Frank Gore, which I had, or you had Marshawn Lynch, which a lot of other people had, and you were hesitant about starting him against one of the top five defenses, doesn't make a difference what team you're talking about, both teams were in the top five in defenses, you were mistaken. You overthought it. Put your stud in there that's how you can make your own breaks, okay? By not paying attention or overthinking, I should say. So let's start with the first game this week I have on the agenda. The first few games I'm going to give you are going to be all 1 o'clock games. There's a very limited amount of games today. There's only 2 4 o'clock, 4:25 games, and then the Sunday night game, quite naturally, and then the Monday night game. So there's not as many games because there's a lot of teams that are on byes. So 5-6 teams that are on byes. So let's go down. Stop procrastinating here. I've gone into the show for about 10 minutes, and I haven't even gotten to the first game. So the first game should be a excuse me, I got to wet my whistle here. The first game should be two teams that have absolutely poor defenses. If you have running backs or wide receivers on this team, if they haven't been doing anything in the past, they should be doing it in this game. Let me put it that way. The Tennessee Titans versus the Buffalo Bills. Both passing and rushing defenses, the matchups are good to excellent in this matchup. Quite naturally, you know that Jake Locker isn't playing. Matt Hasselbeck is a good bye week replacement, and he should thrive against the Baltimore defense. It's one thing that I understand that Buffalo. What am I talking about, Baltimore? Buffalo is coming off a bye week, okay? And they're playing at home, which is a two checks in their favorite corner. But before they were on bye, they were getting torched on the defensive side of the ball. And I don't think during the bye week they could fix all the problems they had in pass coverage and in run stoppage. So Matt Hasselbeck is a good play for me. I see him getting about 250 to 275 yards, somewhere around there. He's going to throw for at least one touchdown. More than likely, he'll probably throw for two. Matt Hasselbeck being not an elite quarterback, and he has a tendency to at least throw 8 pick. So you can count on that. Don't be disappointed in that. Quite naturally, just let me put it this way. Don't be surprised when it happens. I expect Chris Johnson to run very well. Now, I've had Chris Johnson in a few of my leagues, and I've traded him away. The master, not making a mistake, but I traded him away for better talent, But this is the time of year in the Titans season that Chris Johnson should benefit from this. And the Buffalo Bills are the starting point for Chris Johnson here. I mean, he for the last couple of weeks he's been doing well. Well, he should do even better against the Buffalo Bills and against their run defense. I see him getting about 90 to 100 yards. I see him getting into the end zone. Kendall Wright and should be getting about along with Nate Washington four to five catches. Both of those should be about 50 yards apiece. Kenny Britt is coming along. He's a wide receiver too, in my opinion, right now. He's still working his way back from the suspensions and injuries that he had. I imagine that Matt Hasselbeck will be targeting him quite a bit, and I see him getting about 5-6 catches, about 60-70 yards, and a possibility of him definitely getting into the end zone. On the other side of the ball, I see Buffalo being behind in this matchup, and also the fact is that hold on a minute here. I got a call from the welcome to the master plan, Mr. Gardner. How are you this early morning?
You know, I'm doing good, man. I'm taking my early morning crap and listening to some crap, so I'm good.
You know what? The first part of the information was too much information. The second part of it, I could have done without.
I still love you, bro. So if you hear extra boom, you know what that is.
Well, I ain't worried about it. There's always a mute button on.
Oh, now you want to use the mute button.
You know what? You have joined exclusive company as being the only person I've ever muted.
I'm the only person? Yeah, so how's that company? You mean, evil person. I'm going to change the password if you can't get on. Keep going.
Then that'll be detrimental to you. That won't hurt me.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, Mr. FSP. I'm the co-host today for Mr. JTATM Money. It's role reversal. I'm his sidekick today.
Hey,
Batman,
hey.
I'm Robin.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Well, yes, Batman. That's why Robin died like 3 times, and you're still the same crotchety old guy.
Hey,
so
what can I tell you? But I'm still around. That's just it. Anyway, yeah. We're talking about the Buffalo Bills playing the Titans. I already critiqued the Titans. I was working on Brian Fitzpatrick saying that Titans are just as bad on defense as the Bills, Fitzpatrick should have a decent day today. I see him throwing about for 250 to 260 yards, and the possibility because of the defense that Titans play of throwing for a couple touchdowns quite naturally. Just like I said, Matt Hasselbeck will probably throw a pick. Fitzpatrick is good for doing the same thing, at least one pick. I say this dual threat of C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson being able to run all over the Titans. It's all up in the air. Who gets into the end zone? It's a possibility that both of them. But I'll pick C.J. Spiller because he's the quicker of the two. He's the younger of the two getting into the end zone. I see both these guys are, in my opinion, RB2 plays either way. If you have one of these guys, put him in there as an RB2, or quite naturally a flex, because I think these guys are going to get equal amount of shares and be able to reap the rewards of running against the Titans, for one. Along with Scott Chandler, who happens to be one of the BFFs of Brian Fitzpatrick, I'm not sure about him getting into the end zone, but I'm definitely sure that if you are looking for a replacement for a tight end, Titans are one of the worst teams defending against a tight end, and he can get you close to double-digit points, especially in a PPR, in the tight end position. And then quite naturally, Stevie Johnson has been playing pretty well for the last few weeks. And I see him, he's going to get targeted quite a bit. I see him getting about 7 receptions, about 80 yards. And I think he definitely is going to get into the end zone. I know you like to pick the teams, so you pick the winner of this one. Good luck.
All right. Well, gut game, you picked Tennessee, but it sounds like you really think Buffalo's going to win. But I think Buffalo's going to win based upon what you said. You know, yes, you know, it could be a shoot 'em up game, but I see Hasselbeck on his back a lot. Thanks to Mario.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I see him on his back a lot when he drops back because that offensive line is not that good. Hasselbeck's going to have to escape those DNs in Buffalo. Can CJ2K get on track? I don't know. He had a good game last game, but he still hasn't broken 100 yards. No, excuse me, a touchdown. He still hasn't got any end zone. I don't think it's going to happen this game either. I think Buffalo is just going to come out. It might be a closer game than, you know, a blowout, but I see a high-scoring game, and I see Buffalo coming out with the win.
Well, if it's a high-scoring game, then it's a shootout, then.
Yeah, but it's going to be more like a 28-25 type game, you know,
okay.
Not a 28-17 game, something like
mm-hmm.
that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
you like Buffalo, the home team, coming off a bye, playing at home.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Basically, remember what you said yesterday. Home teams coming off byes are dangerous.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. Well, you do listen to the master. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you.
I mean, I can't help but listen when you're dominating the conversation. Jeez.
Oh, boy. Oh,
just
boy.
Go. Just go.
There's another backhanded slap, but that's okay. That's all right.
I love you. I respect what you do.
Anyway, Vic talking in the bathroom. Anyway.
Right. Okay, we passed that point already, so you can't embarrass me on that one.
Anyway, let's go to the next game in hand, and I think this is going to be a team that both teams don't play too much defense. The matchup for the passing offense and rushing offense for both these teams is good to excellent. I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns versus the Indianapolis Colts in Indianapolis. Andrew Luck is going to make amends for what happened to him in Giant Stadium, or MetLife Stadium, I should say. Brandon Whedon, I still think that he's on the road. And I know he's thrown for a few 300-yard games. Excuse me. I'm not sure because of the pass rush here that the Colts do have a pass rush, if nothing else on defense, that he's going to be able to do that much. But I think he's going to definitely throw for over 200 yards, maybe close to 250, closer to 250 than 300. I think he's going to definitely throw for at least a touchdown. Trent Richardson putting on a flak jacket, you definitely got to play him. He definitely can run against this piss-poor run defense that Indianapolis has, who Ahmad Bradshaw absolutely tore up. I mean, excuse me, not Sean Green absolutely tore up last week for a career-high 161 games and 3 touchdowns. Give me a break. Sean Green, you know how bad the defense for the Colts had to be for that to happen? Anyway, because Sean Green is no speedster. Anyway, 80 yards, I think he's going to get between 80 and 100 yards. Definitely, I think he's going to get into the end zone. And there's two targets, one of them good, one of them bad for Brandon Whedon, or three targets, but one of them is good, one of them is bad, and one of them is average. Ben Watson is average. He doesn't get that many looks, but he does. He can catch the ball quite ably. On one side of the field, you have Greg Little, who can't catch a cold. So even though he gets targeted, even though that he's supposedly supposed to be the number one receiver, I gave you this guy 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago before, and I'm tooting my own horn because I gave this guy 2 weeks ago before the so-called experts, like I said yesterday, decided to say, oh, Josh Gordon is a guy you should be picking up. Josh Gordon is getting a lot more looks. And I think he's going to have a very good day today. I think he's going to have like 5 to 6 catches, at least 60 to 70 yards, if not more. And I see him getting into an end zone with a nice 30 to 40-yard touchdown pass from Brandon Whedon. I definitely see this, especially on that fast track. I think Josh Gordon is going to excel. He's only getting better. And with the amount of wide receivers that have been down in Cleveland, being Muhammad Massaqua, Benjamin is on the injury reserve, and I'm trying to think of the other guy. Cribs is inconsistent. The most consistent wide receiver is Josh Gordon. So on the other side, Andrew Luck, I see him throwing for about 300 yards and at least two touchdowns in this game. I really like Andrew Luck in this game. I think he's going to home cooking is going to be very good to him. He'd be happy to go back into the dome on the turf. Now, I gave you this guy. It was tepid 2 weeks ago. I gave it to you definitely again last week. And because of what happened to the Colts in MetLife Stadium, he didn't really get a chance to do his thing. Against this defense that can't stop the run, Vic Ballard is a definitely good bye week filling for me here. He's an RB3, close to an RB2 in my opinion, because I think he's going to show himself this weekend. The reports say that they don't think too much of him. I'm not talking about the Colts, but the so-called experts don't think too much of him. Well, he really hasn't gotten a shot when Donald Brown was in there, because he only got sporadic shots. He really didn't get a shot last week because the score got run up and they were throwing the ball a lot. Well, he's going to get a shot. He's going to get a real good shot this week. I know a little bit of DeLone Carter is going to be sprinkled in, but Vic Ballard is the key guy here. If he can show out Indianapolis, and I'm telling you this, I said this yesterday and I'm going to say it again today. Indianapolis is one of the top two strength of schedule for running backs. The top one is the Raiders, and second is Indianapolis. So if you have one of those runners, meaning Run-DMC or Mike Goodson or whatever, just in case Run-DMC goes down, or you have Donald Brown, he's hurt, but you have Vic Ballard as a backup, these guys, as long as they stay on their feet, should have a consistent week in and week out for the most part of the rest of the year, because they have the most favorable running back schedule of all football right now in fantasy. DeLone Carter, he's nothing. He's just a spotting change of pace type player. He may vulture a touchdown, but I highly doubt it. Kobe Fleener is Andrew Luck's BFF at tight end position. Young quarterback, always likes to go to the tight end as the check down. Reggie Wayne is always going to get his targets, especially from what happened last week. He's definitely going to be showing out this week. He's going to get about 7 catches, about 90 yards, definitely probably get into the end zone. Over the last 3 weeks, Donnie Avery, his targets have been 8 consistently. So Donnie Avery is a good bye-week fill-in if you need him. And I know I'm getting long-winded in this game, but I have to get as much of the information as I can get out. I'm going to say this guy at the end of the show, but I'm saying him now. This guy is coming on. He's a rookie. He's starting to get he's got quicks like nobody else on this team, not even Donnie Avery. This guy is getting more and more looks. I like this guy this week as definitely a bye-week fill-in as a wide receiver three, and I would even I have in one of my teams put him in the flex. Talking about T.Y. Hilton, remember when I said that T.Y. Hilton? I like this kid a lot. I think he's going to show out a little bit this week against a piss poor Cleveland defense, even though they do have Joe Hayden back. Talk to me, Vic. Sorry about the long length.
I'm accustomed to you talking long-winded because you're a blowhard.
Anyway, oh, God. I had to get the information out, man. So.
No. I know. I'm just giving you a hard time, dude. It's my job as a co-host to give you a hard time, like you do to me.
It's an unwritten rule, huh?
That's right. You do it every Saturday, so it's my turn, buddy. All right, check this out, ladies and gentlemen. I agree with what Jerry was saying as far as Cleveland Indy goes. I'm a little tired here. But I think you forgot one person, Hardesty. Montreal Hardesty is going to split the carries with Trent Richardson because Trent's ribs are messed up. And if you've never worn flat vest, okay.
Go ahead.
If you've never worn a flat vest or played football and wore those pads and then had to add another layer of padding, it can really mess with your carrying the ball and your speed. He's probably practiced with it before, stuff like that, but I think it's going to be somewhat of a hindrance on Trent. So if you need a back that can give you a few points this week, Ontario Hardesty might be another guy you might want to pick up. Just if you're in one of those crazy leagues where you got to start like 25 people, you know, and you don't have anybody else that you can play, that's an option right there. I like Vic Ballard a lot. Only thing is, Indy is, they don't run. And I know they like to throw the ball because they're behind or they're in a shootout type game, but, you know, even when they are not, they're still in the shotgun, you know, throwing the ball, screens and stuff, great. I'm torn between starting Vic Ballard or Michael LeSure, because Michael plays Monday night, and he's going against the Bears defense. You know, so I'm still thinking that LeSure is going to do well, but Vic Ballard is a guy that I'm skeptical on. But as far as the game goes, they're playing Indy, T.Y. Hilton, and Ivy, or not Ivy, what's my guy's name? Avery. They've taken turns being second fiddle in that office as far as second fiddle to Reggie Wayne. Last week it was T.Y. This week it might be Avery. But I think Cleveland, as I said yesterday, gets their second win of the year based upon the fact that they're finding their stride. Wheaton's found someone he can depend on to catch the ball. Brandon Wheaton hasn't been terrible. It's the receiving core that has been terrible, dropping open passes, making him look bad. Now, he's throwing some interceptions, but a lot more drop balls and interceptions have taken place. So I got Cleveland.
You got Cleveland. Okay. My next game, I know you like this game. We're talking about the Washington Redskins visiting the New York Football Giants. Washington's going to be facing their matchup in rushing offense and defense is about average. New York's going to face a tough run defense versus a piss-poor, and I hate to say it, but piss-poor Washington pass defense.
Legendary. Yeah.
Yes. So it's RG3 and Eli Manning. Who's going to shine in this one? I like RG3 in here. Not over Eli Manning, but I like RG3 in here to get about 250 yards. I think he's going to get about 40 to 50 yards rushing. I think he's going to be able to pass for a touchdown. I think his modus operandi is one passing touchdown, one running touchdown. One of the most prolific offenses in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken. I think they average like 30 points a game, something like that. Yeah,
yep.
So, and that's all on RG3 and his dynamic play with his feet and with his arm. I think Alfred Morris will be able to run on the Giants. I really believe he's going to be able to run on the Giants. I see him getting to 80 to 90 yards, getting close enough in the to get into the end zone. The problem here is this. Who's going to step up in the wide receiving core? Because Pierre Garçon is highly doubtful, and more than likely he's probably out because he's got the foot issue. Fred Davis is dealing with a knee issue. And if he plays, I see Fred Davis being a weapon in here, because the fact is the Giants are one of the worst teams against playing the tight end. So if Fred Davis is able to play, five catches, about 60 yards, he's definitely a bye week filling in a tight end for me. Santana Moss has eaten the Giants up. I think he can do it here. Giants have a hard time dealing with speed, and Santana Moss, even though he's an older receiver, still has some speed with him, and I think he'll be able to be effective in this game, about four or five catches, about at least 50 yards in this, if not more. And I think the touchdown pass, if it doesn't go to Fred Davis, it'll definitely go to Santana Moss. Leonard Hankerson is inconsistent, and you can't really count on him. If you are desperate for a wide receiver, I would probably put him in there as a flex at best, or a wide receiver three or four if you need him, because he's not going to do – well, you never know. Let me put it this way. Hopefully he does something against a real bad Giant secondary, but I wouldn't count on it. On the other side, now Eli Manning is an elite quarterback. I see him throwing for over 300 yards against this defense. I see him throwing for at least two touchdowns against this defense. I see Ahmad Bradshaw, even though it's against a tough Washington defense, Ahmad Bradshaw ate up San Francisco's defense. So he's been running well, and the offensive line has been blocking well for the running game. So I see him getting about 70 to 80 yards in rushing. Not sure if he's going to get in the end zone. I think the way they get in the end zone is through the pass, and that could be to Victor Cruz, Hakeem Nicks, and up-and-rising Dominic Hixon. Victor Cruz is going to get about six catches, about 70 to 80 yards, and I'll probably be getting to the end zone along with Hakeem Nicks. He'll probably have a little less because Victor Cruz is a little bit more dynamic, and Hakeem Nicks is still dealing with issues, lower body issues, meaning leg and knee, knee and foot. And Dominic Hixon picks up the pieces, so if you need a wide receiver three or something like that, he can get you 7 or 8 points in the PPR. Talk to me, Vic.
Well, of course I love my HTTR, Hail to the Redskins. Here's the catch here. As you said, our secondary has been piss poor all season long. Normally, the defensive side of the ball is our strong suit. The Redskins are, they found a way to beat the Giants two times in a row last year, the only team to do it. And London Fletcher made a very salient point when he was on NFL AM a couple days ago. The Giants have run the same offense or the same system the entire time that he has been in Washington. So Kevin Gilbride hasn't changed anything. So that's why they play them so well. So Jim Haslett can look like a genius when he plays the Giants because they don't change. So they have their tendencies. And unfortunately, if the Redskins decide to sit on some of those tendencies, they might get burned. But if they sit on them, they're playing it safe. I think if they bang up Bradshaw a bit, because they're going to try to run Bradshaw. I think Brown is hurt a little bit. So Wilson, the guy that likes to fumble, coming back to the D.C. area because he was a Virginia Tech guy. He might have opportunity to shine, especially in the kick return game. And if Fred Davis can't go for the Redskins, Pollison, a converted wide receiver, big body, tall, but he plays tight end now. He's a big target, and he can catch, and he's fast, especially for a tight end. So I think you can look for that matchup if Fred doesn't come in there. I think it's going to be a shootout, just like you said. Unfortunately, the 250 for Rob, I don't think Rob's going to get 250 in the air. I think he might get almost 200, and yeah, he'll rush for one. He doesn't connect a lot. And I notice he has a baseball throwing motion. which I do as well. I throw down. His balls go down. They don't really go straight on the line. They just go like a sinker ball, if you want to use a baseball term. So that's why a lot of balls are dropped and a lot of balls are low, because that's his throwing motion. But I look for the Skins to win the game. How much? I can't tell you. Depends on the wind and the craziness up in New York. I mean, what's the weather like up there, Jerry?
Oh, it's bright and sunny. And probably a little windy up there. It's a little windy where I'm at, but talking about 40 miles north of me, and that stadium has a tendency to be windy. But you never know from week to week what the weather is going to be like. Whether it's going to be a lot of wind or not in that stadium. So, and sometimes in the old stadium, the wind used to swirl. I'm not exactly sure how it is in this stadium. I don't think it swirls as much as it used to be. So,
well, I tell you, you're on the upper East Coast. I'm on the really upper West Coast, and the Skins are going to have a tough time. I think they're going to win the game, but I think it's going to be a tough game. So,
let me ask you this. And you brought up a point that the London Fletcher had said that they've been running the same offense for ever since he's been there in Washington.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, my question is this. If they're used to it and they know the tendencies, then why the other teams, especially the teams in the NFC East, don't have or have such a hard problem or time with the Giants if they know their tendencies and they've been running the same offense for whatever amount of time it is, for at least 5 or 6 years? They've been running the same offense, maybe 10 years, whatever it is. You follow me? I mean, because if they have their tendencies and they haven't changed them for as long as Kevin Gilbride has been there, then that's just like they should be able to – any of the teams should be able to defend them in their sleep, because they know exactly what they're going to do when they're going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. The only thing I can tell you is that they study more because they see them more. And the only way that a team can defeat another team is to study all of their activities.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't study their activity and what they do and how they do it, you're never going to do well.
Right.
I'm not saying that the Skins are the best at figuring out the Giants, but they play them twice a year, the same style of gameplay. So at some point, you got to say, well, and maybe I need to catch up on a lot more keys. I mean, honestly, I can't tell you. I can't tell you why.
Okay.
But for me, if I know I'm playing, if I got to guard Bradshaw, I'm studying everything I need to know about Bradshaw. And I want to see how he cuts, how he carries the ball, how he hits a hole, how he waits in a hole, or, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would think every defensive coordinator would teach that to their team, especially if you play them twice a year.
Sure.
But it's not the case all the time.
Okay. Let's move on, to another matchup, division matchup, talking about the New Orleans Saints versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. New Orleans has got a real good matchup with the passing matchup, and their rushing offense matchup is terrible. And for Tampa Bay, all I can tell you about the New Orleans defense is a hot mess. I thought Steve Spagnuolo would inject some life into that or sustain it when Greg Williams left. But it's a hot mess. Even though Jonathan Vilma is coming back, I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference in this game. They're playing in Tampa Bay, and that is telling me that New Orleans scores between 7 and 10 less points on the road, especially outdoors on the grass, versus being indoors on the turf where New Orleans plays. So even though Drew Brees may throw for over 300 yards, he may throw for a couple touchdowns. I see him doing that, which is a staple for Drew Brees. Coming off a bye, but they're playing on the road. Darren Sproles, I see him getting involved, especially in the pass game, because I don't think they'll be able to run the ball against Tampa. Tampa is pretty tough against the run, so he's going to definitely get involved in the passing game. I can't recommend Pierre Thomas or Mark Ingram. You got a three-headed monster in there. I think the only team in the league that has a three-headed monster. Three guys handling the ball at any particular time. You never know who's going to get the majority. I couldn't recommend Pierre Thomas or Mark Ingram anywhere. Only reason I'm recommending Darren Sproles, especially in a PPR, because he has that facet of the game that he commands or gets into. Jimmy Graham is out, didn't make the trip.
Yep.
So if you have any Jimmy Graham aspirations of being able to play in this game, you better look in a different direction. Hopefully you have. Hopefully you got the information. If not, I just gave it to you. Look on the waiver wire for a replacement. Marcus Colson should get a bump up in receptions, along with Les Moore, who's coming back from a hamstring after the bye. And then also the wild card in here. And if you're desperate, and I'm telling you, if you're desperate for a wide receiver, this is one of the guys that is a boom or bust. You never know exactly what he's going to do. He can catch a pass for 10 yards, or he can catch a pass for 80 yards for a touchdown. I'm talking about Devery Henderson. Since Jimmy Graham is not going to be a viable option, that means a bump up for the rest of the receiving group in the Saints. Meaning the guys I named, Marcus Colson, I see him getting about five. I see him getting to the end zone. His staple is about eight to nine targets, and he's going to get about five or six catches, I should say, and about 80 to 90 yards. Lance Moore is another guy that Drew Brees likes. He's going to get about 4 to 5 catches, maybe about 50 to 60 yards. I see the Saints throwing a lot. That's what they do. And Devery Henderson get his 3 to 4 catches. And depending on you can't – this is the thing about Devery Henderson. You never know what he's going to do. If you have him, you sit him on the bench, he could have 25 points because he could go off and catch two long touchdowns from Drew Brees. Or if you put him in the lineup, he could have 3 catches for 10 yards. So that's just the what Devery Henderson brings to you. So you got to be real desperate to put him in here. On the other side, Josh Freeman is an extremely good play in here against a real bad pass defense. I see him getting to be 200 and maybe close to 300 yards, matching Drew Brees, because I think they'll be able to move the offense on the air, in the air and on the ground. He's going to definitely throw for a touchdown. Doug Martin should be able to run his ass off in here. I see him getting about 70, 80 yards at least, and I see him getting into the – if he doesn't get vultured by LeGarrette Blount, who's getting more touches, I see him getting into the end zone. Dallas Clark, I've read in the last few weeks that he's been frustrated because he's not really getting involved in the offense. Excuse me?
Nothing, yep. He's been mad because he hasn't gotten any touchdowns. He's gotten very few catches and looks.
Right. So I don't see him, still don't see him getting involved in the offense. I think it's the running backs and wide receivers, and the afterthought is the tight end. Vincent Jackson, I see him getting into the end zone with one of his patented catches, 6 to 7 catches, 70 to 80 yards. And Mike Williams, who's been hot, he's been very hot. He's being wide receiver too. Definitely a flex. You can count on him. He's getting about 7 to 8 targets. So because Vincent Jackson has been getting so much attention, Mike Williams has been reaping the rewards for that. I see him getting 5 to 6 catches and about 60 to 70 yards. And there's a strong possibility if Vincent Jackson doesn't get the touchdown, Mike Williams definitely does. Vic.
All right. Tampa and New Orleans is a very good matchup. Since Jimmy Graham did not make the ride down there to Tampa Bay,
it kind of sways me a lot more toward Tampa. Mm-hmm. I originally picked New Orleans to go out there and do the damn thing, but with Jimmy Graham down, I mean, he's down where he's not playing a game. It's kind of serious. And coming
off a bye.
Yeah, and coming off a bye. Mm-hmm. You know, that's very serious. And he's Drew's security blanket. I don't even know who the backup to Jimmy Graham is. And that's bad news. Marcus will get more targets, yes. Lance Moore is still a little nicked up, but he might get an opportunity to do some things, but you never know. That defense for Tampa isn't that bad. They might have been, you know, killed in the run game and in the pass game a little bit, but they've gotten a lot tougher. Mark Barron is vying for Rookie of the Year. Him and my guy in St. Louis, they're D-backs. Jenkins and Barron are
right.
vying for that Defensive Rookie of the Year category.
Yeah.
And with Rondé Barber back there helping him out, Barron, that is, it's kind of tough. Drew's going to be good. Drew's going to be Drew. So I'm going to stick with my original prediction of Drew Brees. But like you, I think Doug Martin's going to have a good game. He might get vultured at the end zone by a LeGarrette Blount. But, you know, that's the price of business when you're 5'10", 220, and you're a rookie. You know, your body, you might be coming up on the rookie wall. I don't know. But Freeman, they've unleashed him a little bit. Last week was the second week he threw for over 300 yards all season. The first time was when they played the Giants. And, you know, Mike Williams is that, you know, that fantasy guy that everybody's saying, if he's on your waiver wire, pick him up. And you might want to because, as you said, Jerry, Dallas Clark is not getting those looks. They're going to Mike Williams. So we'll see what happens, but I feel as though that New Orleans will pull this out. They'll find a way to get it done. Tampa's Achilles heel has been the run game. It has been the run game. So if they decide to run the ball, they have a shot. So that's what I got.
Okay. Let's move on to another one of your favorite teams, Dallas Cowboys versus the Carolina Panthers.
Are you trying to like be funny? That's all right. When we get to the Jets, I want you to sing your J-E-T-E-S.
Yeah. I got your J-E-T-S. I got that. I dump it out every day. I dump it out every day.
Mr. Tour 4, stay in the basement. Be quiet.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm coming. And I know you worry because I told you I was coming before I got my first win. And I'll tell you, I'm coming. I won two in a row now. Here I come. I give you a four-game start. Here I come. Anyway.
Well, you have a formidable team. You have a formidable team. I'll give you that.
I can't understand why I'm losing, but that's okay.
I want Antonio Brown, though. But go ahead.
Hey, I'll give you Antonio Brown. You want him, you got to give up something.
I want Brown and Pettigrew, but we'll talk.
Hey, you know what? We can definitely have those. We can talk after the show. No problem. No problem. I'm always up for a trade as long as it's fair. Seems like that four letter word fair is not in your vocabulary. But anyway,
I don't need those pieces of scrubs. I got Gronkowski and the salsa man, so I'm good.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Anyway, the passing in this one, both teams shouldn't have too much trouble moving the ball, whether on the ground or in the air, because both teams' pass and rush defense are average. So on the Cowboys side, Tony Romo better get his act together. His coach is definitely on the hot seat, especially from what happened last week. They better get their act together. They got too much talent to be able to be doing what they've been doing. It's one thing or another, whether the talent on the field is hurting them for a win, or the the coach on the sidelines is hurting them for a win, which happened last week. And I know Jerry Jones stated winning this season, not like what we're about. We're working to the future. We want to win. I want to win now. So he made a statement. So these guys better perform, or otherwise they'll be out and somebody else will be in there. Tony Romo, I think, is going to throw for about 300 yards in here. He's going to get at least one touchdown. He's always good for at least one pick. Against this crazy, terrible rush defense, Felix Jones should be able to run. Yeah, if I'm talking about Felix Jones, DeMarco Murray's hurt. He's got ankle issues. He's hurt again. Felix Jones, hopefully he's going to last this game. He's Mr. Brittle, in my opinion. He's 70, about 70 yards. He'll probably be able to get into the end zone because he's a dual threat back. He can run the ball, and he can also catch it out of the backfield, which is always a good thing. You know that these guys, Jason Witten, Dez Bryant, Austin Miles, Miles Austin.
Miles Austin.
Miles Austin is going to be getting about 6 or 7 catches apiece. Witten's probably going to get about 60 to 70 yards. Dez Bryant and Miles Austin about 70 to 80 yards. I see both these guys, Dez Bryant and Miles Austin, getting into the end zone. I really believe that he's going to spread the wealth out and get both these guys equally involved. You know Witten's going to get involved. That's BFF for Tony, so he's going to definitely let that happen. But Dez Bryant, Miles Austin get into the end zone, in my opinion. On the other side, Cam Newton. Cam Newton may have a little trouble with the pass rush. If pass rush of the Dallas Cowboys, I think he's been struggling this year. He of all the second year quarterbacks probably has the biggest sophomore jinx going. I think he's going to barely reach 200 yards in this game. He'll probably throw for a touchdown, but I think he barely gets 200 yards in this game. Their running backs are, I don't know if it's a scheme. I kind of doubt it's the running backs. Because they definitely have two good running backs. I think it's the scheme of the offense, the run offense, that's causing these guys not to be able to run the ball effectively. Jonathan Stewart, D'Angelo Williams, I couldn't play him if I wanted to. And even a desperate moment, for the fact is, the run offense for Carolina is so bad, and you never know who's going to get the amount of touches to be effective. So 30 to 40 yards is nothing. I mean, if you're desperate and you got to put somebody in that spot, just to put somebody in, and they put them. But I think you can look and find some other places and other teams to put somebody in a running back slot. Steve Smith is going to get a lot of targets because that's just the way it is. He gets a lot of targets from Cam Newton along with Greg Olsen. I see them getting about 5 receptions. T. Smith getting about 60 to 70 yards. Olsen getting about 50, around 50 yards. Possibility of Steve Smith getting into the end zone. Greg Olsen probably getting yardage. Steve Smith getting it into the end zone. What you got, Vic?
I say this. I say the Cowboys are going to win this game, and they're going to win it handily because the daggone, the Panthers, they're dysfunctional right now. I mean, they're a good defensive team, but they can't run the ball. Steve Smith has dropped a few passes that he normally wouldn't. Brandon LaFell has cooled off, you know.
That's why I didn't mention him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So
yeah.
You're looking at – what are you looking at? It's going to be in Carolina. Okay, gotcha. But I think Dez Bryant is going to have a hell of a game this game. Even Ogletree might even step back up and make an appearance. But it's a lot of things that are going to take place in this game that normally you're like, wow. Really? Carolina's going to get exposed as, you know, needing more than what they have. They used smoke and mirrors last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we said on the show during the preseason, we broke down the NFC South, that Cam was going to have a bad year.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I know I did. I
mm-hmm.
said that Andy Dalton was going to have a very good year, and I'm right about that. And he's having a very good year so far. He's staying consistent. But Cam does not have weapons, and you can see the frustration in his face now when he's at the podium. He's no longer smiling. He's rolling his eyes. He's leaning his head to the side. His body language? Not move. Yeah, his body language is telling the story of Carolina. Until he changes that body language, Carolina will lose. And Steve Smith, when they lost Thursday night, I forgot who they played, I think it was the Giants, you know, when he came to the sideline and told him pick his head up and he got in his face and got in his grill, you know, nobody else is doing that. So Ron Rivera, he might be on a short leash next year.
Okay.
In his third year. But I'm picking the Cowboys. And I'd play every offensive weapon the Cowboys has.
Okay.
Who's the backup? Tanner? The backup to Felix? Tanner might get some run, too.
Yes. Yeah, he might get some run. You're right about that. All right. Let's move on to the Baltimore Ravens going to play the Houston Texans. Someone walked up to me on Monday night, which is my bowling night, and somebody walked up to me, and they couldn't wait to walk up to me and say this. They said that now the rest of the league has a blueprint on how to beat the Texans. No, they just had a bad game. That's every team once in a while. Baltimore had a bad game, even though they won against Kansas City. They still had a bad game. They were much superior team playing Kansas City, and they eked out a win. So every team has at least one bad game in the season. So, and unfortunately, at home against national TV, that the Houston Texans got their ass handed to them by the Green Bay Packers, who desperately needed a game, desperately needed a win. So they were in desperation mode, and it seemed like Houston thought they just had to show up, and they would automatically get a win, and that didn't happen. That's not the story here. Even though the history of the Baltimore Ravens against the Houston Texans is Baltimore 6, Houston 0, I think because of the circumstances and the what happened last week with Houston and what happened last week, meaning the loss that Houston sustained and the loss of players Baltimore sustained, that Houston's going to, even though they would have anyway, because Baltimore, and I said this before, early before the season started, two teams that were overrated in the defense, that were old, was Baltimore and Pittsburgh. And I have been proven right about that. Both these teams, even though even before this, they sustained injuries, they were old and slower, and their defenses weren't as prolific and weren't as strong as their reputation was. So, and I think Houston's going to get on track running the ball. And we got about a minute and a half left in the game. Excuse me, left in the show. Tune in next week. Same time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, be the master plan. Maybe Vic will be showing up again here. We'll talk about fantasy football and what was right and what was wrong. On Tuesday, Compassion Dakini with Kim Fun. She's going to have someone that deals a lot with the United Nations and give that person is supposedly going to give her point of view on how the other countries view the United States and also the election, what they think about the election. That's 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on the same website. And then on Thursday, it will be the FSP Cruise Show. I'm the host, Black the Bookie, and Jeff the Joker, the two co-hosts. 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we talk about all fantasy sports and politics have been going on up until the time of on Thursday. And then on Friday will be 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time will be the No Chaser Show. I'm the host. Mac Williams is the co-host. And we talk with no holes barred. That show is a no holes barred. We talk about everything. Could be political, could be sports. You never know. Just tune in. And we're in overtime. Okay. And also the FSP show, which is hosted by Vic Gardner, co-hosted by myself. If you want to listen to that show, go right ahead. It's up to you.
You're funny. I'll tell you what. I won the weekly high score in Duke's league. So ha 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 on that.
Hey,
yeah.
Oh, congrats. You know, if you've been watching, I've been knocking on the door of that, but I have been picking up wins. I lost one last week, which is fine. I happen to be on top of our division, which is fine.
Whatever.
Yeah. But that's congrats. I have to admit, I think they're a little surprised, especially you won the top scoring honors for the week. But they got to be surprised that we're doing so well. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I mean, to be honest, you know, I had a crappy beginning, so now I'm 2-3-1,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still in the mix. We got a lot of game to play, and my team is coming on. So I think both of us will be coming out of our division.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think that. I think both of us will be coming out of our division going to the playoffs. What seed will be, I don't know. But, yeah, it is what it is, baby.
Yep. Anyway, let's move on, like I said, to the Baltimore Ravens and the Houston Texans. The only two teams, I mentioned this yesterday, and I'll mention it again, the only two teams in the AFC with a winning record. Just so happens they both are 5-1, so whoever, quite naturally, whoever wins this game is going to be going to about the middle part of the season, the number one seed, which doesn't mean too much right now, but this will be a barometer for either one of these teams because Houston stumbled last week and Baltimore is teetering. Let me put it that teetering on which way the season is going to go because of the defensive players they lost. This is a real tough game for me, you know, because the fact is, I like Joe Flacco, but I don't think Joe Flacco plays that. In fact, I know he does. He doesn't play that well. His numbers are pretty bad on the road. He doesn't play that well on the road. So even though I say he's going to get about 250, 270 yards, it's because they pass the ball a lot anyway. They run the sugar offense, which is just the no huddle. So they pass the ball a lot. So I see him getting a passing touchdown, but I don't see him getting a real good day. So if you need a QB2, Joe Flacco's your guy. Ray Rice may have a hard time running here. I mean, Ray Rice is a strong running back one. He's the top pick. You got to play him because he's one of your studs. That's what I said beginning of the program. You got to play your studs regardless of what the matchup is. Ray Rice in this matchup against a tough defense. You got to play him. I see him getting about 70 to 80 yards. I'm not sure if he's going to get into the end zone. I'm really not sure about that. He's also viable in the passing game, so he's going to get about 4 or 5 catches, which is going to lead up to 30 yards. So even though he may not get into the end zone, which would be a bonus, he's going to rack up some points for you in the rush and in the passing game, especially in a PPR. Dennis Pita, he was a house of fire early. Lately, he hasn't been getting involved as much. So I know you probably have him in your lineup. You keep him in your lineup because he's going to get about 3 or 4 catches, about 4 to 5, 40 to 50 yards, somewhere around there. It's not an outstanding points for a tight end, especially in PPR, but at least you're getting some consistent play because you never. There's a lot of tight ends out there that are really inconsistent. Anquan Boldin and Torrey Smith are going to get the majority of Joe Flacco, especially Torrey Smith because Flacco likes to air his arm out. Boldin, to me, in my opinion, is more of a slot receiver. 4 to 5 catches, about 70 yards. I see Torrey Smith getting into the end zone with one of his patented patented catches down the field. 5 to 6 catches, about 60 to 70 yards, and getting into the end zone. Matt Schaub, tell you the truth, I don't like Matt Schaub in this game. I really don't like him in this game. I think he's going to get about 240 yards, somewhere around there. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to pass. Well, let me put it this way. He'll be able to pass the ball, but I think they're going to be running the ball more than they're going to be passing, because that's what they do. That's what my Houston Texans do. They run the ball. They're one of the most effective running teams in the league. I see him probably getting a very short touchdown pass when they're down in the red zone, but I see Arian Foster going for over 100 yards, definitely getting a touchdown and getting some receptions and reception yards. Owen Daniels, Andre Johnson getting involved, about 5 or 6 catches each, about the same amount of yards, about 60 to 70 yards. And I think Andre Johnson is going to get that short touchdown that Matt Schaub is going to throw. So don't count on a lot of points from Matt Schaub. I think the top point getter in Houston is Arian Foster. So if you have Arian Foster, quite naturally, you're going to be happy, because Baltimore all year since the beginning has not been able to stop the run effectively. So, and now they have lost their leader, their inspirational, and their on the field captain is not there now for the first time. I know they played last year with him, without him, but that's a different story. They had an idea that he was coming back. He ain't coming back. He said he's coming back. He may come back next year, but he ain't coming back this year. We're not torn triceps, and he just had surgery. He ain't coming back this year, no time soon. And they lost their best cover, Ladarius Webb. So they're hurting for players. We'll see what happens, but I really like the Houston Texans in this game. This is the only game I'm probably going to pick because it happened to be my team, and I got it. I can't just pass this off to Vic. I like the Houston Texans in this game, but I think certain players in this game are going to show out. Talk to me, Vic.
All right. I like Houston Texans as well. I think it's going to have to be a shootout because the running game has been piss poor the run defense has been piss poor for Baltimore, even with Ladarius Webb, even with Ray Lewis in there. Now you're going to put McClain, and you're going to bring in your third corner and shift Jimmy over. You're shifting Jimmy Smith over to your main corner, who's going to deal with Andre Johnson. I know Andre Johnson a couple weeks ago said he feels like a fullback out there because all he's doing is blocking. But I guarantee you this game, him and Owen Daniels, I think both of them will go over 200 yards. I mean, go over 100 yards receiving.
Really?
Yes. I honestly think that Owen will get 100, or another receiver. Let me put it that way. Andre Johnson will get 100, and another receiver will get 100. Who that other receiver is, I'm not sure, but I'm going to say Owen Daniels. I'm not that sold anymore on Schaub as being a fantasy stud quarterback because of the running game, but that's fine. That's fine. You're going to see Ben Tate and Arian Foster get in the end zone. Don't be surprised if you see Arian Foster on the bench towards the beginning or mid part of the fourth quarter. That's how much of a blowout I think this game is going to be.
Wow.
I think Baltimore is going to have Torrey Smith and Jacoby Jones and Anquan Boldin step up big time to make this competitive. The secondary and the defense as a whole of Baltimore is Swiss cheese right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate, but that's what they are. They're Swiss cheese. So look for the Texans to have a great game. Now, the Texans defense has been excellent all season long. Only game they had a hiccup on was against Green Bay. Baltimore doesn't run the same style of offense. They run a similar offense. However, I think Wade Phillips will not let that happen to his defense a second time. So I'm saying, and I know a lot of people are probably like, are you crazy? I'm saying play Houston's defense against this vaunted Ravens offense.
Really?
Trust me, it's gonna. Yes, because Joe Flacco is going to try to force a ball or two into a place where he shouldn't, because the defense is going to be disguised. And Baltimore will win this, will lose this game and it will be a Flacco interception. I think Flacco's going to have to throw a lot. I really do. He might have two picks. He might have two picks, but he also might throw for 250, 300. But they're going to lose based on his arm. It won't be a Ray Rice hit.
All right.
Baltimore's going to try to grind it out, though. They're going to try to grind it out. But they, that's what I got.
Okay. All right, let's move on to one of my, I think Vic, one of his favorite games that he wants, he's looking forward to watching, too. Green Bay versus St. Louis, in St. Louis. St. Louis is one of the NFC West defenses that, if I'm not mistaken, they're in the top 10, and if I'm not mistaken, they may be in the top 5. Am I right about that? About St.
About
Louis?
Yes.
St. Louis's defense.
St. Louis, the Cardinals, the 49ers, and the Seahawks, all top 5 defenses in the NFL.
Okay. So it's going to be tough going, even though the Green Bay Packers has a prolific offense, passing offense, I should say. But the combination of Courtland Finnegan and Javoris Jenkins, two probably one of the best pair of shutdown, in my opinion, shutdown corners. These guys are you go against them, you definitely are in for a fight with these cornerbacks, because they get up in your face and they don't give you, they show no quarter. Let me put it that way. They are not going to give you anything anywhere on the field. The Jeff Fisher type of swag that these guys have is permeated throughout the whole defense. And it's been a renaissance of the team as a whole. So a lot of people that I know, including my co-host, are playing in their fantasy teams that have defensive team positions of playing the Rams against the Green Bay Packers, which I think is a ballsy move on one hand, but it makes sense to me on another. For the simple fact, this is the Green Bay Packers, and they're an explosive team, but this defense, playing at home, is also a very good team too. So I can understand it. But it's a heck of a move. Let me go to the players. You got to play your stud quarterback. You got to play Aaron Rodgers. Alex Green, only play him if you absolutely need to put somebody in there, because, like I said, this is a tough defense. They're tougher against the pass than they are against the run, but it's still a tough defense. JerMichael Finley, good luck. I have soured on JerMichael Finley. He's dropped too many. He's very inconsistent. You think by now he's saying he has no rapport with Aaron Rodgers, but he's been with him for God knows how long, ever since he came into the NFL, and he can't get a rapport with it.
Well, minus the fact that you kidnapped him that one year after they took the
World Anyway, he's highly inconsistent, drops a lot of balls, and can't seem to stay healthy on the football field. So with all those things, I have to say, if you have a better option, then don't play JerMichael Finley, because he's too inconsistent in my opinion. You definitely got to play Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Randall Cobb. These guys you have to play. Gren Jennings is out again. Is not going to play. The ball's going to get spread around between these three guys, so you got to play them, especially in bye weeks. These guys are a viable play. Jordy Nelson's an RB2. James Jones is a 3 or a flex. Same along with Randall Cobb, in my opinion. You got to play these guys, because if you're hurting for wide receivers. On the other side, Sam Bradford, only in a QB2 would I play Sam Bradford in this. I understand that Green Bay's pass defense is average at best, but I don't think Sam Bradford's going to do enough to do any damage in there. I mean, 250 yards, somewhere around there. He may throw for a touchdown. Steven Jackson maybe be able to run decently, even though Looks like it's becoming big, more and more of a timeshare with Daryl Richardson. But don't know whether it was game plan last week or this is going to be what's going to happen for the next few games, because it looks like Steven Jackson won't be with the Rams next year. So,
nope.
Excuse me?
I was agreeing with you. He will not be. They gave him the option to opt out of his contract, and he's going to opt out. Somebody's going to pick him up.
Right. And the trade deadline is it's like 2 or 3 weeks away, if I'm not mistaken. So you never know what's going to happen. It depends on how some of these teams shake out, depending on – and I'm not saying Steven Jackson. I'm just saying – I just threw that in there. Some of these teams may be moving players around and draft picks around to for next year. In the wide receivers – Brandon Gibson has been getting a lot of targets that were for Danny Amendola. So he's a I would say he's probably an RB2, believe it or not. He's an RB2 in my opinion, because he's getting a lot of targets and he's capitalizing on those targets. 5 or 6 catches, 60 to 70 yards. I think if Bradford throws a touchdown pass, it's going to be to Brandon Gibson. Or this other guy I'm going to give you. I told you I was going to give you a few picks. I'm giving you this guy, Chris Givens. The last three straight weeks, he's had a 50-yard pass play in each of those games. So he's quick. He's young. He's learning more and more shorter routes, which he's getting involved in. Chris Givens is a pickup for me. I'm definitely putting him in my lineup and as a flex. Or an RB2, even though he's not an RB2. I put him in as an RB2 because I'm trying to catch lightning in the bottle and trying to get ahead of the curve of possibly people picking this guy up off of the waiver wire. So if you have a spot on your waiver wire, Mr. Gardner, or whoever's listening, and for a wide receiver.
Already got him, buddy.
I'm just saying, Chris Givens. Uh-huh. You must have been listening to me before, because I think I mentioned him last week.
I got this guy about 3 weeks ago, right after the Skins played St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
because I was like, okay, well, he has potential. And then just as luck would have it, Amendola breaks his collarbone or whatever it is, and the next game this kid goes out and tears it up. But last week, he didn't do too well, even though he's the main target now. We'll see what happens this week.
3 straight weeks of a 50-yard catch. So that means they're looking at this kid. I can see if it was a 1 week. I can see it maybe a 2 weeks. But 3 straight weeks, meaning this kid's getting more and more looks, plus the fact, like I said, he's getting – looks in the shorter routes also. So that means he's got real good speed, and he gets the ball short in space. He could be gone for a long catch for a touchdown. So just pick him up if you have a spot in your lineup and you're desperate. I wouldn't say desperate, but if you're looking to catch lightning in a bottle, high risk, high reward, this is a guy for you. Definitely a guy for you. Okay, who you picking?
We're talking about St. Louis and Green Bay, right?
Yes, sir.
I already told you. St. Louis at home in an upset.
Okay, no problem.
For all the reasons that you stated before, you know, I'm playing their defense. I think discount double check is done, because show me what you got, Razi. That's the funniest commercial I've seen in a long time. But that's all Green Bay is right now. They're commercial. Now, they're saying, you know, everybody's against them, and they got to play like people don't expect stuff from them, just play their game. Yeah, okay. Play your game in that dome with that cheap shot artist type defense of St. Louis, and watch how many of your players get ejected or personal fouled. And you guys lose control. They're going to lose control. Watch. They're going to lose control.
Mm-hmm.
Give me St. Louis.
Okay. Let's move on to the next game, Arizona versus Minnesota in Minnesota. Okay? Arizona, this defense is tough on both sides of the ball that Arizona is going against. And Minnesota's got going against a pretty tough pass defense, and their matchup against the run is a decent matchup against the run for Minnesota. So they should be able to run the ball, and they may have a tough way to go passing the ball. Arizona should have a tough way to go passing or running the ball. John Skelton, I wouldn't play him. I know there's five or six teams that are on bye. You may not have a choice. If you don't have a choice, then quite naturally, Vic, like you are, you're going to play him. I understand that. And Ryan Williams, good luck playing against this one of the top five rush defenses in the league. And the Arizona offensive line has had trouble anyway. Now they're going up against a real tough run defense. Only if you're absolutely desperate, you have no other choice. But otherwise, if you have a better choice, you put someone else in there and let Ryan Williams get his 30 to 40 or 50 yards, and that's it. The only plays I see in here are the wide receivers, Larry Fitzgerald and Andre Roberts, of a lesser, because when John Skelton is in the lineup, he looks more toward Larry Fitzgerald than he does to Andre Roberts. Kevin Cobb had more of a rapport with Andre Roberts, even though he threw a lot to Larry Fitzgerald. But they got more of an equal distribution when Kevin Cobb is in there, not with John Skelton. John Skelton eyes Larry Fitzgerald quite a bit. So Larry Fitzgerald should be the main recipient of fantasy points on the Arizona Cardinals. Probably 8 catches, 80 yards, and probably a touchdown. And I can't see Arizona scoring too much in this game. And if he does, it's going to go through Larry Fitzgerald. On the other side, Christian Ponder, he's playing home, 250 yards. He's a QB2 in a two-quarterback lead or a bye-week fill-in, let me put it that way. He should have an easier way to go against Arizona, but not that much easier, but he's playing home. Which is a redeeming factor because he's playing home. Adrian Peterson, I see him getting over 100 yards and getting into the end zone. Kyle Rudolph, his standard 5 catches, about 50 yards. And if they get down between the 10 and down near the 10-yard line, look for Kyle Rudolph to catch a touchdown pass. That's he's good for catching touchdown passes from Christian Ponder. Percy Harvin, number one wide receiver in fantasy. He does it all. He gets a lot of touches. He complained earlier that he wasn't getting enough touches, and they're accommodating him since the beginning of the season. I see him getting about 6 or 7 catches, 80 to 90 yards, and a touchdown. Jerome Simpson's coming back from an injury. I don't see him doing too much. And same thing for Michael Jenkins. Talk to me, Vic.
All right. You're going to learn today. So what are we going to learn today, Jerry?
Tell me what we're going to learn.
We're going to learn that Jared Allen can rope a skeleton. Or a skeleton. We're going to learn that AP isn't going to play this entire game. Or he's not going to play on Thursday. Because he has a sprained ankle, or a very badly sprained ankle. I think Toby Gerhardt's going to get in there and tear it up a bit. If not, for the majority of the game, it's going to be split carries. So all you AP owners, such as myself, you might want to go out and get that handcuff before it's too late. I'm not saying it's a guarantee, both 2 games on the schedule. The guy's coming back from an MCL, ACL surgery, and he's got 2 games in 1 week. My money says that Gerhardt's going to either get the bulk of the carries this game or next game, which is Thursday night. So look out for that. But, again, Minnesota's surprising team of the year. They're going to win this game. They're at home. Even though Fitzgerald comes back home to Minnesota, it's not going to be a good homecoming. The offensive line is scary. But I do believe when Beanie Wells gets back, he's going to make them look better, even though Beanie is as Jerry says, a bust. I think he's going to make them look better. But that's not for a couple more weeks. So lick your wounds if you're a Cardinal fan.
I do not like Beanie Wells at all, man. Never picked him up. Never had I can't even recall if I ever had him on my roster. I just don't think that much of him. I don't like the way he runs. He's big for his size. He can't stay healthy, his hands aren't that good at catching the ball. And I love dual threat running backs. If you can't do both, then you for the most part you're not on my team. So.
Hey, I got two alibis if you don't mind before you move on. Two things I want to say. In this week you're looking at the number one and number two fantasy football picks going up against each other. In my opinion, Arian Foster and Ray Rice head to head.
Right.
Then,
right.
Yeah, so that's a good matchup. Then, since Jimmy Graham is down, look for Darren Sproles to be an integral part in the passing game today.
Yeah.
I forgot about Darren Sproles. But,
I didn't.
Well, I did.
Okay. That's all right.
But I just want to throw that out there.
I understand that. No problem. It's all right. That's why I'm the master and you're not, but that's okay. I understand. Anyway.
Okay, what's your record in the Parlay Palace? Who's the top? Who's beating you in the Parlay Palace and in Wolverines in the house? And, well, you got
me. I'm 3-3 in the Parlay Palace.
So am I, but who's got the higher ranking? Me. Because who lost? Oh, I lost. That's right. Never mind. Shut up. But
yeah.
I'm
just going to let you talk and put your foot in your mouth, but that's okay.
Hey, look, I'm Rex Ryan. I am not Rex Ryan. Or his wife.
Anyway, speaking of that, that was pretty good because that's a pretty good segue because my next game was the New York Jets against the New England Patriots. If you have a need for a quarterback, I know people are saying that Mark Sanchez is a decent bye week filling. If you're desperate, you can put him in there. I wouldn't, but if you're desperate, you can put him in there. Just expect at least one turnover because he's a turnover waiting to happen, and that's not coming from a bias. That's a true statement. He's a turnover waiting to happen. He has at least one pick in every game. Just check the record. He has at least one pick in every game. That's just his M.O. That's what he does. One bonehead throw. He has in every game. I don't see him throwing for over 250 yards if he does. He may throw for a touchdown. If he does, it's going to be to Jeremy Curley, who I gave you quite a few weeks ago, that I thought he was coming on even before San Antonio Holmes was playing. I mean, got hurt. And now he happens to be one of the main receivers. He's got speed. He's young. He's hungry. I wish he had a better quarterback, then he would be putting up some better numbers with a better quarterback. He's going to get about 5 catches, 61 yards, and he should get into the end zone for that. Sean Green, he had 160 something yards with 30 something carries last week with 3 touchdowns. That was his lifetime best. He'll never have that again. If you think, or if you traded for Sean Green off of that, I'm going to call you stupid. I hate to say that, but I'm going to call you stupid because the fact is Sean Green is a plotter. He's not a dynamic running back, and he probably won't be able to run against this Patriot defense. Their rush defense is good. Their pass defense is not that good, meaning the Patriots' defense. So they should be able to pass the ball against the Patriots somewhat. There's a limitation because of the quarterback, but they shouldn't be able to run that well against the Patriots, even though they're going to try to do it. Now, I'm telling you, this is another guy I gave you last week, and I'm giving you again this week. Bilal Powell is doubtful. More than likely, he won't play. Joe McKnight is questionable due to an ankle. What was that? Hello?
I hit a button. Sorry. Keep going.
Okay. Joe McKnight was questionable with an ankle. He may not play, but he'd probably be limited. This guy, and I'm not touting him because where he came from the practice squad of the Houston Texans. He happens to be on the Jets now. He was active for the last 2 or 3 weeks. I see this guy getting into the game. I think this guy is a better running back than Bilal Powell, Joe McKnight, and Sean Green. I'm talking about this guy called Jonathan Grimes. I picked him up on one team already. I think this guy is if he gets a decent chance, he's going to show what he can do. Remember the name, Jonathan Grimes. I gave it to him last week. I'm giving you him again this week. That's high risk, high reward. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I may be in front of the curve, but telling you people about this guy. On the other side, Tom Brady's going to light the Jets up. Always happens, always will. About 300 yards, a couple touchdowns. Stephen Ridley's going to be able to run on his offense because their rush defense is real bad. Okay, 70, 80 yards. I see him getting into the end zone. Aaron Hernandez, Gron Gronkowski, Wes Welker, Brandon Lloyd. These guys are all good plays because of the type of offense the Patriots run. I understand that the Jets supposedly have a decent pass defense, but Antonio Cromartie only can cover one of these guys. So you got four guys that are going to be involved in the pass offense. You can't cover all four of them. And I'm telling you, at least two of these guys are going to get into the end zone. I don't know if it's going to be both tight ends. I don't know if it's going to be a tight end or receiver or two receivers. But at least two of these guys are going to get into the end zone. If you have one of these guys, you put them in there and sleep well because they should have a decent day in fantasy against this Jet team. Talk to me, Vic.
Okay. I'm not a big proponent of this because it's your – I don't want to hurt your feelings because I know you still have feelings. Yeah.
No, I don't. Say what you got to say.
They're deep-rooted feelings. But
yeah,
I don't think the Jets are going to show up in this game. I really don't. I think the Jets are going to cause the GM to lose his job. And next year – Rex might be fired as well.
Uh-huh.
But the Patriots are going to come out, punch him in the mouth, and keep punching him in the mouth, and that's all you can expect from this. Getting punched in the mouth left and right. Thanks to Mr. Ridley, Mr. Woodhead, and all these other cats that the Patriots have to throw at you. They're not equipped to deal with the Patriots this year. Not at all. So, just get ready for Patriot celebration. And I'm sorry, Jerry. Your J-E-T-S, just.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
That's right. Hit people in the mouth, just like you said.
Well, I was waiting for you to cue it up. I kept talking. I was waiting for you to cue it.
Well, that's all right. I had to wait for you to finish talking. I didn't want to talk over you. I knew you were closing out your what you were saying. So I was waiting for you to finish what you were saying, and then I was going to.
Our formula is this: we go out, we hit people in the mouth. Number one. Number two, we are not a charity. We cannot give them the game. That's number two. And number three is we execute from the very start of the game to the very end of the game. That did not happen. I'm from the old school. I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
Won't do it. That's right.
I love that, man. I absolutely love that. Anyway, let's move on to Jacksonville versus Oakland. What can I say? Jacksonville coming off a bye. Jacksonville coming off a bye, going to Oakland. Jacksonville, just like Seattle, one of the worst teams to play on the road. Even though they're coming off a bye, have one of the worst quarterbacks, second-year quarterback too. And he wasn't too good in the first year, and he's not that good even in the second year. Talking about Blaine Gabbert, this is a bust. This is one of those four-letter words that people don't want to hear in the NFL, especially for a quarterback, a bust. And Blaine Gabbert is a bust and always will be a bust. He's a backup quarterback. Do not play Blaine Gabbert unless you are absolutely have no other choice and have to play at least a quarterback in your a roster to start. Because he's a two turnovers, not one. He's two turnovers waiting to happen. That's how bad this guy is. The only person you can play, in my opinion, on the Jaguars is their running back, and he's struggling to do what he's trying to do, what he did last year. It's not going to happen. I see him getting about 80 yards, give or take. I don't see him getting into the end zone. About two or three catches for 10 to 20 yards, and that's about it. I'm not even going to preface about going to any of these wide receivers because the quarterback is so bad, it's not even worth it. On the other side of the ball, Oakland, Carson Palmer is an extremely good play here. He hasn't been playing that bad, to tell you the truth. He hasn't been playing that bad. He happens to be one of these quarterbacks that you can expect one boneheaded move and throw an interception a game because that's just the way Carson Palmer is. But he's going to get the ball to Denarius Moore, who happens to be – and he fell in love with this guy last year. As long as he can stay on the field and be healthy, Denarius Moore is going to thrive under Carson Palmer. He's going to get about five or six catches, about 70, 80 yards, and I see him getting into the end zone. Darius Haywood-Bey is still working his way back, still inconsistent. And then one of these sleeper tight ends that a lot of people don't hear about. If you are in need of a tight end, this guy is very consistent. 4 to 5 catches, about 50 yards every week. I don't have the statistics in front of me on how many times he's gotten into the end zone, but Brandon Myers is a consistent tight end that you want to pick up and use him as a tight end. I have him on my roster, which I'm going to use as a bye week fill-in because he's been that consistent. About 4 or 5 catches, about 50 yards is what he does each and every week. And that's all you need from a tight end. You need for him to be consistent. And then quite naturally, I would say the best for last, Darren McFadden should be able to run amok. Hopefully he'll carry over from last week what he had into this week. Over 100 yards, probably get into the end zone, 3 or 4 or 5 catches, 30 to 40 yards. He should have a nice fantasy day. Vic?
I think that this is a very easy game to call. It's on the West Coast. It's in Oakland. Jacksonville is horrendous on the road. Again, the only person I would ever play from Jacksonville at this point on and keep on my roster, if I had no choice, is MJD.
Right.
He comes back to the West Coast. He might have a good game. Well, he will have a good game. Oakland has a okay defense against the run, but they're not that good. But Carson Palmer, as you said, has not looked that bad, really, this year, but it just hasn't come together. I look for Darius Haywood-Bey to get in the end zone once or twice. As you said, McFadden, I'm looking for 2 touchdowns out of that guy. Also, I'm looking at a very, very good game from Oakland, and Oakland wins this game handily. They can be surprised and upset. I've seen them up in person, live and in person. They can be flat, but I think they come out and win this game.
And also, I neglected to say this. I had it written down there for my notes. If you're hurting for a defense, if you are hurting for a defense, this is
oh,
a sneaky play. This is a sneaky
yeah.
play because, like I said, Blaine Gabbert is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, and this offense is one of the worst offenses in the league. I don't care if they came up a bye. They're playing on the road, and Jacksonville historically has not played well on the road. And Oakland, playing at home, especially the way they played last week against the 6-0 Atlanta Falcons, now they're coming home. I see them being a good play as a defense to pick up. So just remember that. Let's move on to another division rival and division game. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Cincinnati Bengals, which is, in my opinion, a tough game to pick a winner in this game, but I'll leave that to Vic. Ben Roethlisberger is having a very good year under Todd Haley passing the ball, especially with the carousel of running backs in and out of the lineup that can't stay healthy. And it happens to be that Jonathan Dwyer gets the start this week. Isaac Redmond and Mendenhall won't be playing because of various injuries, with the backup to Dwyer being Baron Batch, who played very well last week. So if you want to play Baron Batch or Dwyer, have at it. I can't guarantee you what they're going to get because I don't think too much of these guys, and I don't know how much of timeshare it's going to be. Roethlisberger is a definite play for me. In fact, he's probably a QB1, in my opinion, in this game because I think he's going to be able to pass the ball down the field against Cincinnati. I see him getting about 270 to 80 yards, maybe a couple touchdowns to Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown. Both of them are targeted roughly the same amount, about 8 to 9 targets, give or take. And they'll make at least – they'll probably get a touchdown. Each one of these probably get a nice touchdown from each one of these guys. And moving over to Andy Dalton, I think they're probably going to have to throw a little bit too here. So he's going to get about 260 yards. I think he's going to be able to throw to A.J. Green for a touchdown. A.J. Green emerging as one of the top two, not top five, but not top ten, top two wide receivers in the league. He's going to get about 8 catches, about 90 yards, and I see him definitely getting into the end zone. Cedric Pierman, I think, right?
Yes, Mr. Pierman.
Yeah, he's going to be he's starting running back, if I'm not mistaken, because Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis is hurt.
I think he's a third down back, but if he's starting, that's a great play.
Okay, yeah.
He's a third down back.
Yeah. And there's other guys on here. Hawkins, he's been emerging too, being Andrew Hawkins. He'll probably get about 5 catches, about 50 yards. Jermaine Gresham, he's a little bit inconsistent, but I see him in this game getting about 4 catches and about 50 yards. There's some fantasy goodness in here if you have these guys on the team. They shouldn't be on. None of these guys I spoke about should be on the waiver wire. Maybe Pierman, about the only one. Jonathan Dwyer and maybe Baron Batch may be on the waiver wire also. But if you're
got
in
a
need,
question for you, sir.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where did you get the information that Pierman is starting?
Where did I get it? I got it. Well, hold on a minute. Here, let me just see. Let me just see.
Because what I'm reading, what I've read is that okay, he is. He's going to get increased workload, but I didn't know that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis was down. When did Ben Jarvis go down?
Hold on, man. Hold on. Just relax. Relax.
Okay.
Let me. Just... Oh, I could be wrong about that. I thought I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect, but I just want I saw it somewhere that. Pierman was going to get a increased workload. Oh,
yes,
you know what? I got that because I think Bernard Scott is down. So
yes,
Pierman.
Bernard
going,
Scott is down.
Yes,
yeah.
Bernard Scott. Let's make Bernard Scott is down. So Cedric Pierman is going to take his spot. So he's going to get increased touches. That's where I got that. I'm glad you checked me on that. I appreciate that.
Well, because last week is when it happened. He got 8 receptions and 1 rush because Bernard Scott was out, and he became the third down back.
Mm-hmm.
And the deal with him is that he's going to get increased workload if they have to throw the ball a lot, which I think they will.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was just fact-checking because I got him on a couple teams. I'm like, hey, if you heard somebody in here, you know, let him buck up.
No, I'm checking on a couple of my websites that I normally check, and it doesn't tell me that he's starting. So let me just check one more here, and I can tell you, come on, oh God, let me just look here, see what I got here, let's move on to what were we talking about? The Cincinnati and Pittsburgh,
right?
Pittsburgh
Cincinnati game. Sorry.
Yeah. Let me move on to him and see what he has to say. No, you're right. He, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is playing. I see him getting about maybe 60 yards, about 4 or 5 receptions if he comes out of the backfield catching the ball, not too much yardage, and Cedric Pierman definitely getting into the mix. And he, like you said, if he has to go to more of a passing game, then he's going to get more involved. And then the final game is the Lions and the Bears, which is another tough game. The matchup for the passing offense for either team is good. The matchup for the rush defense for both teams is going to be tough, being able to rush the ball. Now, you had asked me about Mikel LeSure versus who was that? Mikel LeSure versus who?
Vic Ballard.
Mikel LeSure versus Vic Ballard. Wow.
Yeah.
Sure, you're going to get up against the Bears versus Ballard going up against the
Browns.
To me, that's a no-brainer in my opinion.
Vic Ballard.
Yeah, I would pick Vic Ballard for the simple reason that LeSure has gone up against a tougher defense, and he's not as dynamic a running back as a lot of people think. I know Ballard isn't either, but Ballard's going up against a weaker defense. A lot of people will probably go with the name Mikel LeSure, but me, in my opinion, I would go with Vic Ballard because I think he's going to have a better opportunity.
I also had something on that Pittsburgh Cincinnati game. Have you soured yet on Antonio Brown?
No. Why would I sour on Antonio Brown? Not at all. He'd get his targets equal opportunities. So
okay.
No, because the fact is he's getting targets. So he had one bad game, which was last game, where he didn't get that many fantasy points, but I just consider that a fluke because he's been consistent. Ever since I told you guys about him last year, he has been very consistent. So every now and then, Larry Fitzgerald had a very bad week 1 week already this year. So it happens. Reggie Wayne got shut down with the Jets. It happens. So I'm not putting Antonio Brown in that tier, but I'm just saying it happens to wide receivers. And it happens to all fantasy players. So, no, I haven't soured. As long as he's getting the targets, then Ben Roethlisberger is still looking for him. That means he's going to get the opportunities. So that's all you can ask for.
All right.
Let's move to Detroit versus the Chicago Bears. And like I said, Matthew Stafford is not what he was last year. I think the schedule had a lot to do with that. It's a tougher passing schedule, strength of schedule this year. Detroit has in the past and in the run schedule. So Mikel LeSure and Matthew Stafford in the run and pass game, along with Calvin Johnson, are going to have a tougher way to go this year because of their strength of schedule. And a lot of people don't pay attention to that. I pay attention to that, and it does hold true. Maybe not as much as people, maybe not as much as you think, but it does hold true. It stifles the performance and the point production in fantasy because, quite naturally, week after week, you're going against tougher schedule. Your points aren't going to be as plentiful as you would have if it was an easier schedule. So Matthew Stafford, because his volume of passes is probably close to 300 yards because he's probably going to have to. Mikel LeSure probably won't get up no more than 60 to 70 yards, if that. Brandon Pettigrew and Nate Burleson probably have 4 to 5 catches, about 50 yards. Quite naturally, Calvin Johnson is going to get targeted the most. I see him getting about 7 catches. He'll probably get because of the amount of throws that he gets thrown his way, probably get close to 100 yards, but I don't think they're going to be on the positive side of this game. I'll leave that to Vic. Jay Cutler, I don't like Jay Cutler. I don't think he's that all that as a quarterback. Too inconsistent. He reminds me too much of what's that quarterback? George. What the heck's his name? What's his first name?
Jeff George.
He reminds me too much of Jeff George. Same type of, in my opinion, same type of demeanor and same type of passer. Got a gun for an arm. Thinks he can fit it in anywhere. Same type of mindset, and he's just not all that. And I think Jay Cutler fits that almost to a T, in my opinion. I see him getting about 250 yards. He probably throw for a touchdown because he's throwing to Brandon Marshall. See Brandon Marshall being able to catch about eight balls for 100 yards. I don't see anybody else really doing too much in the pass game. Matt Forte not being able to run the ball that well. Maybe he'll do a little better than Mikel LeSure with about 80 yards. I don't think he's going to get into the end zone. This is going to be a tough divisional game and probably a low-scoring game too. Talk to me, Vic.
Well, I kind of think that with Alshon Jeffries down, here's an opportunity for one of those other wide receivers, namely Devin Hester, who's banged up a little bit, to step up and take a little pressure off of Brandon Marshall. Matt Forte and Michael Bush, it'll be their game. It will be their game. I think Cutler will throw the ball because the secondary of Detroit is not that good. But they're going to set up with the run. And Dominican Sue might get to Jay Cutler a lot. That's why they're going to try to get the ball out quickly. So look for a lot of slants, a lot of screens, and stuff like that. On the other side of the ball, I don't know what's up with Detroit. I said it earlier in the year. They're not what people thought they were going to be, the Madden jinx, whatever it is. Detroit just isn't that good. It's in Chicago, too. At night, starting to get a little cold. Stafford hasn't looked that good to begin with. Megatron, I mean, you got to play him, but you're going against a defense that's only given up 2 touchdowns and scored 4 in the past 5 games.
Right.
I know it's a lot of numbers, but, you know, it's going to be tough. It is going to be tough for Detroit to win this game. And next week they got to play Seattle, but they're at home. So this is a winner or this is an elimination game for them in the NFC North.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to get eliminated. I think they're going to get eliminated. I have Chicago winning this game. And I see Forte and Butch just raking up the points in the run game. I don't think Brandon Marshall gets in the end zone, though. He might, but I don't think he does.
Okay. Well, we come to the conclusion. That was the last game that we were talking about to this week. We have to watch to see what happens with these games. I'm excited. There's a lot of divisional games, which are going to be hard-fought games this week. I'm looking forward to watching Washington and the Giants. I'm looking forward to watching the Baltimore Ravens and the Houston Texans. I'm looking forward to watching Monday Night Football with Chicago and Detroit. And there's a lot at stake for a lot of teams here. I'm looking forward to watching, and it's, which is always a good game, the Steelers against the Bengals. And there's a lot of good games going this week. We just have to wait and see what's going to happen, but the jobs are on the line. Careers could be on the line, too, in some of these games, so we'll see what happens. With that being said, tune in next week. I'll be in place again as the master. My name is Jerry. I'm JT for some, ATM for another. The master is my moniker because of everything I play, fantasy baseball, fantasy football, and maybe even fantasy basketball, I master. So with that being said, next week is 10 o'clock a.m. Thursday is the FSP Crew show at 8 o'clock. Friday is the No Chaser, 7 p.m. And 1 o'clock is the FSP show, which is my co-host, who happens to host that show. With that being said, I'm going to leave it to Mr. FSP to close the show out. But after he closes the show out, I'm playing my old school rap that I opened the show with. You didn't hear it, but it was Curtis Blow.
Oh, for real? He's all the brains.
Exactly.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. You know I interviewed him. But, ladies and gentlemen, the ATM has been, he's been consistent. He's giving you winners time and time again, players that you need to go get to improve your team. The proof is in the pudding. Last week, this show had over 600 listens after it originally aired. You guys are coming back because you know he's giving you good information. Don't sleep on what he's giving you, okay? Just remember, when ATM's in the building, all you got to do is punch in that code and he'll spit out cash. Trust me.
I'll make you money. I'll make you money.
He'll make you money. But I'm going to take his money. Well, me, Mr. FSP, and the ATM, you've been listening to The Master Plan. Because...
clap your hands, everybody, if you've got what it takes. Because I'm Curtis Blow, and I want you to know that these are the boys. You can't.